there, Japanime fanimes. Welcome to We Boomers, the retro anime podcast from Gigaboots.com. I'm your host, Danime Japanime, and with me is Bob.
Hey, every guy.
From Gigaboots. Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
I'm wearing green today.
KZ from KZExcellent.com.
I'm alive.
Dr. Agro from Gigaboots.
Pink coat is the only real Lupin.
We watched for this episode Lupin the Third, the Castle of Cagliostro, or Cagliostro, or Cagliostro, depending on who you trust and when they said it, and whether or not they were Solid Snake.
Stop that, please!
It's really good. For people who don't know, the manga video dub of this has David Hayter voice Lupin, and then for the re-release, the people doing the re-release actually got him to do the trailer narration. It's really something quite special. I'm very excited to talk about this. This is the first time we've ever covered anything Lupin, I think, on Gigaboots. Except for maybe the Conan versus Lupin movie, which I do not believe we made content on. I'm going to look that up real quick. And while I do that, let's talk about everyone's experience with Lupin. Bob, what all Lupin stuff have you watched?
I've seen a ton of the movies and a good chunk of the part two anime. And then a little bit of the newest one. Part four, I think, is what they're on.
The newest one is part five.
Okay.
KZ.
I saw, I think, two episodes of a TV show that looked old. That's it.
That was on Toonami.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Feel?
I watched a bunch of the movies and TV specials years ago, all subtitled, and I watched the whatever they aired on TV dubbed. I think in that Tony Oliver is Lupin.
Tony Oliver Lupin is classic Lupin.
Yeah, they get him for all the new movies too, so he's become the de facto standard.
Dr. Agra?
I'm not sure if I've seen every episode of Part 2 or every movie, but it's close.
Okay, so I am pretty convinced here, Bob.
Yeah?
Yes, we talked about Lupin the Third, the 2015 series. On Weeaboots.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what I was thinking, but I was like, what if that never came out?
That's why I've seen part of it.
Uh-huh. That is why you've seen part of it. I can't remember the state of it. It was still airing at that point, and wasn't it improved later, or there's just some interesting things about the different releases?
I think the newest version, we're finally getting like the Japanese intro, which is like the real Lupin intro you want with the classic music, whereas before we were getting like the French or Italian intro, and it was kind of weird and not good.
Yeah, because the whole thing with that series is that they were doing, like, it's in Italy, correct?
I think that's right.
Yeah. So that was the bit. I believe part of it was funded by the Italian tourism fund.
That's what I heard.
And that's always good.
Oh, right. Mama Mia. That Blue Coat series, yeah?
I think so.
I just about forgot that existed.
That's fair. Every time I think about what Lupin have I watched, part of Memo, the Conan versus Lupin movies, I think both of them, or maybe just the first. And then just random episodes on Toonami. I actually am a big fan. I don't know why I haven't gotten more into it. I think I was waiting for a format like this or a dedicated podcast series, but it's clear we're not doing that yet.
Yeah, we need to live.
Yes.
We have too many. Look, guys, if we had to set a goal for it, its goal would be $300,000 a month on Patreon if you follow current market trends.
All the money's fake.
If you get deep enough into chugging bleach, you may be able to just switch it out and no one will notice.
Whoopsie doo. This series are intense.
And after the Serete arc, we go to Monaco for this car.
All we have to do is swap Naruto for it, and nobody will notice because Tony Oliver also voices Naruto's dad.
Man, Tony Oliver's classic Lupin. Like, the two characters I most strongly associate with Tony Oliver is Lupin and Bang Shishigami.
one of those roles viciously stolen from him.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
It
Wait,
really
actually,
is.
Kind of both.
And, well, he got it back with Lupin.
So that's true. Fine. Yeah. So we're all good. He has cosmic justice on one side. It's really quite funny watching this. We watched the 4K Blu-ray, which in my opinion has maybe a little bit too much digital noise reduction. Some of the detail gets a little smeared by it. But it's really interesting listening to David Hayter voice Lupin, because he'll just be like, "Hey, I'm Lupin. I'm zany until now.
Now I'm Solid Snake."
When he's on the rooftops and starts grunting, and he's just Solid Snake grunting, it's really funny.
It's really fantastic. I enjoyed it immensely.
I do love it, especially because of the way Lupin is characterized in this movie, where it sounds like he's pretending to be Tony Oliver Lupin. And it just, it comes out now and then.
They have a foreword recorded. This is the last thing I'm going to say about it. But they have a little message that plays before you watch the movie recorded by David Hayter. And he's just like, this movie's really incredible. I didn't know how special it was when I first did it. But Lupin, I'm blessed to be involved with such an amazing project. I hope you all enjoy the movie now that it is available in stunning high definition or whatever. And then this live action shot of him, he just leans back in his chair like the take's over. He's like, okay, that's where they'll cut it, obviously. And they just slow fade as he gets more comfortable. one of the neatest features on this, and I actually don't know if this is on the Blu-ray release, maybe Bob does, since
I haven't opened it.
Since Bob bought both.
Yeah, I bought it. Then we were like, yeah, we'll do that for content. And then the 4K edition got announced. I was like, I guess I'm buying it again because the content still hasn't been made.
They have a really cool feature where you can look at the storyboards for the entire movie the whole way through. And it does a picture in picture in the lower right of the film.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. That's where I got the... what was it? Gigaboots hitting the DK64 stream goal non-colorized image on Twitter from.
I think they had the whole storyboards on the old DVD too, but that picture-in-picture thing is neat.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've ever seen that. It's a really cool feature. I have to wonder if they do that for more of their releases or if this was just one of the special ones. But let's actually get to talking about the film instead of the release specifically. Even as someone who is a fan of Lupin, but not a super hardcore one, does anyone else have like crazy mental dissonance trying to watch this film? And it's like, you have your main cast of characters and a Hayao Miyazaki film just barging right in.
Yeah, just looking at their faces sometimes, I'm just like, yeah, this doesn't match up.
It's dizzying.
Yeah. I've seen enough out of context clips of Lupin to go, this feels weird.
Yeah, Lupin, the main Lupin cast are pretty, like, on model most of the time.
Yes.
But then it's just, then you see the villain or the girl, and it's just like, that's a Ghibli character.
I'm like, oh, Nausicaa's here.
And when like, Lupin's too close to them, he starts to morph into a Ghibli character.
I thought it was delightful.
It is. Like, I'm pretty sure this was the first Lupin thing I'd ever seen.
Oh.
So, like, it's a lot easier for me because this is just locked away in the vault as the baseline.
I always
Which, ask- so when I went back to watch the part two series and saw Fujiko, I'm like, what the fuck?
I went and looked it up. Miyazaki actually directed like the original TV show.
Oh, interesting.
Which I was really surprised by. I was like, I knew he worked on part of it. But
yeah,
was it
Yasuo Otsuka, I think, does animation direction for this?
Yes.
And yeah, they did that. And I think at least Otsuka worked on Island of Mamo. And then like a year later, they did this. This was, I think, the first thing Miyazaki directed.
Uh-huh.
The first feature he directed.
Yes.
Right.
Because this is pre-Ghibli.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's wild to be like, this came out the same year as the original Gundam.
Huh?
Think about
that Scooby-Doo looking cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's absolutely mind-blowing watching this movie because Dan mentioned the year while we were watching. I was like, that's when Gundam came out. Oh my God.
It's okay. It's vintage.
I'm
like rotting cheese.
That's flooring me right now. Watching the film, though, I feel like if I ever watch it again, I'm not watching the U.S. dub. And that's nothing against the actors in it. In fact, the problem is they're too good. Would you like to know who the actors are?
Dan, we need to watch the 92 dub as well, though.
That's true. At least that'll help me escape.
The Netflix version apparently uses the 1992 dub, which I listened to.
Oh, that's unfortunate, Casey. Weird. You escaped my wrath.
The Streamline Pictures dub, according to this thing.
I watched my old DVD, manga DVD,
okay,
DVD subbed.
Okay, so...
I watch it dubbed.
If you
didn't have Tony Oliver.
That's understandable. You know what it did have, though? Goemon, played by Volt Kruger from The Bouncer. He said one line and I went, what? I started to melt. This actually had a number of voice actors from The Bouncer and Brave Fencer Musashi. So it was really quite something.
I didn't
something.
Know this other dub existed. I'm looking at this. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one is the other? The Streamline or the manga?
The Streamline dub.
Yeah. I still haven't heard that one. I'm going to check that out sometime. But yeah, watching this movie.
you listen to it and you know it's an old dub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the way these people talk, yeah, this has to be at least mid to late 90s, but no, even earlier.
You know, I think that I really like most of the actors for the manga dub. I think the only one that I really couldn't get used to was Jigen. Like,
didn't we find out Jigen Sojiro from Persona 5?
No, I think that was the henchman.
Yeah, the Riot Squad captain, according to this Wikipedia thing.
The
moment that person spoke, we were like, what am I?
Yeah, no, he was really obviously someone who's still voice acting.
Yeah,
I knew him as the older McDougal brother. Because of course I did.
Jesus Christ.
The guy's in everything. That's just what I always think of.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he's either important or evil guy in every single JRPG for the past 15 years.
Good on him.
Yes.
God, man. We were also talking about how the enemy squad is incredibly the Bouncer.
What are you talking about? They just run across rooftops while wearing cool ninja garbs and
claw
hands.
Oh my God, I hate you. I also thought this.
So, speaking of like video game things in this, I forgot the part that Resident Evil 4 just steals.
What?
Hold up.
Yeah, when they dump Lupin down the hole.
Uh-huh.
It's almost identical to when Leon gets dumped down the hole in 4, and they even both catch something with their long grappling hook. The grappling hook Leon doesn't have at any other point in the game.
as someone who played Resident Evil 4 less than a week ago, yes, that was blow for blow in the exact same sequence.
Oh my God.
Oh, you think that's some shit? Fucking buckle up. The ending of this film is the Great Mouse Detective's ending.
I have not seen which
block fight was better.
Yeah, Disney loves ripping off Ghibli.
Oh, you bet your ass. That was some shit to cope with for me. I'm like, oh, this is kind of heading in that direction. This is literally that. Oh my God.
Seeing all the mechanical stuff drawn here, like hand animated, is insane. Because like Wraith Mountain Text, if I'm right, that was them using CG. Really early on.
And it was very impressive.
Yeah, they were like cutting edge cinematic CG, and it was great.
About 5 minutes into this movie, I paused it and went and ordered the 4K Blu-ray. Not because the normal DVD looks bad.
Right.
Because it went, I needed this to be in 4K.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that it's just a goddamn work of art. Like this was on the old list of like, you mean that Japanime stuff? Like, no, watch this.
This is when you want to go, yes, I watch anime. I'm a connoisseur. I watch this. Please don't look at my Aiko DVDs. I watch this.
This was it had that tagline attached to it of Spielberg saying that the opening car chase was one of the greatest action sequences ever made. And we wore that quote out like a goddamn penny.
Yes. I think I still see that at least once a month.
That's good, man. You just get one guy to say one nice thing about you and you get to yell about it for 3 decades. Man, that's nuts. The action sequences and various things, the way they're animated in this, especially that car chase, is really incredible. Like, it's really fun and neat to see it animated like that. It's so Ghibli, too. Like, even getting past that, because, of course, the Ghibli energy spikes and it goes down and it spikes and it goes down. Somebody flies on a gyrocopter and I go, okay.
Yeah, that's straight up Miyazaki. That is his deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with when Lupin's climbing the castle at night. The sense of space and height. It's the same with the animation in the clock tower fight. The sense of space and height is just some shit you get from Miyazaki that's hard to find from a lot of other directors.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what you would go to for that.
Yeah, something about Ghibli films, they always like really make an interesting world, and even though this is the real world, this is Lupin, it still feels like that Miyazaki like wonderment with this castle.
Yeah, it's that Paris of our dreams thing,
right?
Yeah, I mean, even when you get to the ending and they're just walking around, they're just like, let's just look at shit.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, this ending.
We just let them draw.
I had seen this before, but watching it again, I'm like, oh, so that's where level 5 took the entire aesthetic of the Layton series from.
Yes.
Just the whole thing.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, you're totally right.
I mean, level 5's whole bit is they really want to be Ghibli, which is fair.
Well, and eventually they got to do official Ghibli, you know?
Right.
And then
they wanted to do a sequel, and Ghibli said no, so they just copied them.
Yep. That's pretty brutal. Hey, they hired one of the main artists.
Good enough.
I think that was the phase of Ghibli being like, no, we're shutting down and done.
I love that every documentary featuring Hayao Miyazaki, he has the he-be-sitting raccoon energy.
How dare you put that in my brain? It won't get out.
I kind of want to see certain people draw Miyazaki sitting down like that.
He does seem to get a little more surly after every film when you see him in an interview, because he's like, you know, I really expected to be able to retire by now because I thought somebody else would step up and do this shit anywhere near as well as I am. But
yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. The energy keeps going up. For anyone who doesn't know, just go to hebesitten.com and make your own judgment. Oh, man. I feel like in order to judge it among Lupin films is literally impossible for me. Because one, I haven't watched many of them. And two, mm-hmm. I haven't watched them recently.
Right. Well, I mean, that's sort of the crux of the thing about Cagliostro, because it's one of the greatest animated movies ever made. It's not really a good Lupin movie.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt watching it, where I was like, this is a really great film. It just feels a little odd from where I'm coming from of what I expect a Lupin movie to be.
Lupin doesn't act like a sexual predator once.
No, that's not true. He does that once in a bar.
Yeah, he gets right. Close.
No, but he was just being cute about it. It was a whole thing. Like, yeah,
it was very
everybody's
wholesome.
Characterization is off. They just rip the shit out of Fujiko. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it was very funny when they come across the Fujiko for the first time, and it's like, oh, look at this accountant that is also stylized like the main cast.
Who could she be?
Who could she be?
Is she gonna seduce the count? No, she's just got grenades.
She's going to seduce him with this machine gun sound.
Her just having an army outfit and Uzis was pretty good, though. I think that's it hilarious.
Is. Yeah, she did have my favorite moment in the entire movie when she is being the newscaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the bouncer enemies pops up and she, without turning her head, points a gun behind her and just shoots them repeatedly.
Yeah, just an amazing moment while she's newscasting this outrageous scene and the ninjas drop down. She just leans over slightly, doesn't even look, pulls the trigger and shoots him dead.
Which, hats off to her cameraman, because he's just some guy, and he,
I was waiting
he
for them,
is riding that whole scenario.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for them to give any explanation to the cameraman, because he seemed so into it, but I guess
he's a cameraman. Channel 5 action news, bitch.
This is what he's been waiting for.
Hell yeah.
You're telling me he went to college to film this? He's like, I want to cover wars, you know? Man, yeah, I know there's at least one other thing where it was the bouncer in the middle of it, the Great Mouse Detective at the end of it. There was one or two other things where I was just like, this is wholesale and something else. So I'm glad that Feel brought Resident Evil 4, because I'm like, God.
That one hurts me a lot.
See, the funny thing is, I'm pretty sure if you go watch me playing through that for the first time ever last year, the VOD of it, when he does that, I point out how weird it is, because he never has that thing again, and he never had it before then. I'm just like, yeah. Where'd that come from?
It's like, wow, he's so cool.
I don't know what the timeline on it is, but if you're talking about scenes with heavy comparisons, it is usually brought up that the wedding scene is reminiscent of the wedding scene from Princess Bride.
I hate that I can't tell if he's bullshitting me. I think he's trying to trick me into watching The Princess Bride.
Oh, I forgot about that deep personal deficiency that you have.
I mean, it's definitely the part where they're like holding him on his shoulders is definitely very similar to "I am the Dweb Pirate Wobbert."
Yeah,
very,
precisely.
Very, very similar. I don't think it's similar enough to say that they're like one inspired. Yeah.
I wouldn't have called that on either of them. I'm just saying it usually came up.
I just assumed this was your average Silicon Valley satanic wedding. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I don't know.
I know that while watching this, we realized Excel Saga directly parodied it.
Uh-huh. Because there's an opening to an Excel Saga episode. I will get an episode number by the end of this recording. Where the opening is... what's the name of the Afro? Nabishin. So it's Nabishin running away from the mangaka, who is Zenigata, and he's figuring out the mystery of these two rings when he puts them together in order to solve the mystery to turn the episode into a Lupin episode, basically. And I'm like, as that scene plays, and it's my first time ever seeing it, I start having a stroke, because I'm like, Excel Stuck showed me this 18 years ago. I did not realize how straight up it was. I thought it was like, Lupin does things like this, we should do this, not here's this exact scene.
So I think we're all learning that as it was used in years gone by, this is a great entry point into anime. It gets kind of weird if you see a bunch of anime and then this.
Maybe it's important to get the original source material, so that way you can seem enlightened, be like, oh, did you know Great Mouse Detective ripped this off? That way you can impress your date as you watch the Great Mouse Detective on Blu-ray.
I feel like the ninjas, or whatever the fuck you would describe them as, the bouncer enemies, inspired like 40% of all video game enemies until like 2005.
I know the PS2 has a strong spike in weird ninjas with claw hands.
I mean, I feel like that the faction most JRPGs.
I feel like there's an entire genre of Final Fantasy VII enemy that looks identical to them.
Yes. Like in the very first reactors, the fucking ninja looking ones that dodge your attacks.
Yeah, it's a film that really never stopped inspiring things, which is kind of insane.
A treasure trove. Just come in, take whatever you want. Just like the counterfeit money going everywhere, our ideas are going everywhere.
You know, I really like films where Lupin and Zenigata team up. I think it's good there aren't a lot, but I think that's really cool when it happens. And this is this is a really great moment of that. Some of the best moments of the film do come from Zenigata.
What is this? A room full of counterfeiting machines? And these appear to be fake bills. The guy on the other side
God,
of the TV goes,
can't act.
I was listening. That was so bad.
That was incredible.
Yes.
There is a weird line about the goat bills, though, where they're like, oh, these are the legendary things. Like, they brought down the Bourbon dynasty, and they caused the Dark Ages? And
I was losing.
Napoleon was funded by them.
I was blacking out.
How old do you guys think standardized paper money is?
obviously, they were forging coins beforehand.
That scene was the funniest scene in the entire movie.
Yeah, I was hoping to get Agra's reaction to it.
It was a real... honestly, all I could think of is this is like when Kojima does the biggest stretch ever Space Jam style and a plot point near the end of one of his games.
I want this in a Mission Impossible book.
I don't know.
I thought about it for a second. Like, how did they... Okay, if these guys have been forging currency for this long, how did they survive, like, the Middle Ages and the early modern period militarily? And then I thought, oh, wait... Heavy armor ninjas.
Yeah.
Never mind. These guys are fine.
Yeah, I like that their armor is so insane that it can handle a magnum. And they just...
it's good. Right. And then Goemon just shows up at the end of the movie like, sup, I'm here now.
I really miss them not being... It's not the same translation team, so we don't get the classic lines of like, my sword is cut, it's a useless thing. They translate a different way. It's just not as cool.
Yeah. You know, when they were about to do the thing, he looked over at Zenigata and he goes, you ready?
Yeah, then he kicked a dog in the head. It's really weird.
Come on, Zenigata. What are you doing?
Zenigata's holding a dog head like, you think I'd let you do this alone?
God. It was honestly between everyone being a Ghibli character except for the main cast and the huge amount of voice actors from The Bouncer and other things, I would consider my viewing experience traumatic.
I'm happy for you.
I was like,
sad.
It's fine. It's gonna be okay. And I start finally coping. And then we get to the scene the Grace Mouse detective just lifted entirely, and I go, no.
God, one of those guys getting crushed in the gears is real messed up.
Oh, the funniest part of that is everyone else running back down after that dude gets crushed, and then the boss going, what are you fucking doing? Use the stairs.
Hey, can we talk about their satanic wedding also being broadcasted on television as if it were normal? Like, he's doing this to prove that he's marrying a normal woman?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, the really insane part is I kind of think that his horrible satanic helmet...
Oh, it's really good.
He puts on for, I think that might be referencing Phantom of the Paradise, which Japan loves. Japan fucking loves Phantom of the Paradise, which is a 1974 like rock horror movie. But it has a guy with like a similar satanic, horrible satanic mask that you see in every single thing Japan has ever made almost. Like, I'm sure you've probably seen this mask several hundred thousand times watching any anime.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Like, the God villain of Berserk.
Looks like he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, he definitely did nothing wrong. You're right, Agro. Oh, my God.
So, Bob, I don't know what part of that wedding you guys think appears to be satanic in any way. There's clearly an archbishop there.
Yeah, I was really surprised they got an archbishop and then everyone else is in black hoods.
With swords.
Okay, pointed hoods. Uh-huh. I mean, I know we live in America, but yes. Like in Europe, in a much older tradition, those pointed hoods are a Christian thing.
Yes, right. I tried to explain this to Bob, and I said, contrary to what you would think at first, they're actually very progressive.
No!
Also, marrying women against their will is a very old Christian tradition.
Part totally checks out.
Also, marrying women who are 17 and you're like 45.
As I said, I just thought it was a Silicon Valley wedding. I don't understand.
Also, marrying women who have been drunk so they can't say anything.
As
I literally enjoy, I did really enjoy Lupin just calling him a pedophile.
That was pretty good.
I literally just realized this is basically the plot of the first Ghibli movie, Laputa.
Wait.
Like, the villain is the same guy. That never occurred to me.
No way.
Oh, man. You're kind of right. I need to watch Laputa again to make sure. But, you know, they had the cool robot with the arm thing, so you don't think about the plot.
Okay.
So put one of those cool robots in like a black cotton cat suit,
mm-hmm.
and have like 30 of them scurry across rooftops. It's the same movie.
I mean, I can't argue this. I haven't seen either. I haven't seen that movie, so I guess I'm gonna have to trust Aggro on this one.
I mean, that sounds like a great choice all the time.
That's pretty dangerous. Remember when you tried to trust his fucking duck helium thing?
God,
you
that...
have no empirical evidence that I would lie.
Except for the fact you said you were lying.
Yeah, and we've clearly established you can't trust me.
He
makes
up.
A good
I'm
point.
Here.
He makes a good point. I trust him on this.
I gotta get out of here.
So I'm going to ask the hardest question. Bob, would you say this is better or worse than Project Echo?
Oh, that is actually hard. I like them for very different reasons.
God, no shit.
Incredibly different reasons. But this is
stark.
This is even more amazing to look at than Echo, which Echo looks really nice.
Yeah, Echo does actually look really good, especially with the mechanical disaster, like things being torn apart, vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and other things. It's pretty neat.
It's a difference in focus. Like Echo's got that insane OVA money going on, but this is Miyazaki unleashed with a film budget for the first time.
Yeah, so I'm gonna have to give the edge to the Lupin here.
See, the funniest thing is it's just like he's unleashed with a full movie budget for the first time. And I'm like, yeah, I saw the ending where they just walk around and look at shit. Like, to me, that seems like,
yeah,
not in a bad way, but very self-indulgent in a good way, actually. It's just like,
yeah, it's quite a flex.
Yes.
I think it's funny how there is a lot of murder in this movie, but it's still a Ghibli film, so it doesn't feel like they're dying.
Except for the way the villain shit at the end.
Yes!
Feel like they're dying.
Yeah, everybody who died to a clock got it pretty bad.
Yes, dying to a clock is pretty rough.
That's the real villain of this movie, the fucking clock. It just decimated human life.
So can we talk about how this big secret of the family is like, also it wrecks everything we've built over the years. But it's pretty cool that this is hidden.
But it's a hidden secret. Don't you want the hidden secret? I guess you should drown everyone in the city.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we never cut back to the old burned out Duke's castle. That might have been fine.
Yeah, the Duke's
castle was
fine.
It was just the Regent's place.
Yeah, it's just every other place in this area that has... What was the population? It was like the world's smallest nation in the United Nations and had 8,500?
I don't remember.
What is that, Niceville?
But yeah, I think that it might have just been the Duke's castle, not the Duke's castle,
The
Count's castle. But they were part of the same family line, so
yeah,
you
they,
think
they
that-
were the shitty subline. So fuck them.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
They were the shadow. Oh. They were the darkness to the light.
Yeah.
God, I can't even think about the Ring plot line without getting upset over the Excel Saga intro.
It's a weird thing where they're like, our bloodlines have been kept apart for 400 years. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like the result of good family planning in a royal line.
Right.
Yeah, in a place with a population 30% lower than Niceville, I would say that is excellent planning. This is not a large nation we're talking about. But, you know, the important moral of this story is to completely undo all of that hard work and drown everyone. Because, hey, ancient mysteries.
Yeah, the hidden Roman city is just like, what did he think was there?
I don't know.
The villain. Because it's like he's running a global counterfeiting ring that surely is one of the most, like, financially beneficial things conceivable.
Yeah,
like what does he think is there?
It didn't matter.
Like
this wasn't his job. This was a hobby. He was an insane rich noble who got a thing into his head. This belongs to me.
Yeah,
and so he murdered his way to it.
This is super believable.
Phil's sitting here and he's like, why did Musk put the car into orbit? What did he think he was gonna do, park up there?
No, this would be like
This would be like if Elon Musk was like, I have to blow up the pyramids. There's something in there.
Yeah, no, that sounds totally believable, Phil. Don't even pretend it doesn't.
Yeah.
Rich people. Once again, very Silicon Valley wedding. I don't understand.
he'll find his treasure and call it Chungus. He'll tweet about it and I'll want him to not be alive.
This is his right.
He'll tweet about it and I'll start thinking about the hardware at a deli.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of people who are fucking dead, though. Whoever Jigen shot with that anti-tank is gone.
No, they were fine. They just got blown like two rooms across into a wall.
That was incredible.
They're fine. They just no longer have a torso.
Yes.
Can you imagine what the energy that round did inside that cuirass? Holy shit.
That's weird. He seems to be burned alive.
He's like, oh, my magnum doesn't work, when even that is like, man, it's a sure good thing they had that armor. Now they can have an open casket funeral.
Right.
It was bizarre in the scene where the armor ninjas first show up and, you know, Jigen and Lupin, they're like, oh, somebody's coming. And then and they turn the lights out and two grown ass men in possession of loaded firearms grab an axe and a spiked mace.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
They're not here for safety. They're here for blood.
Yeah, yeah. They were clearly going to incapacitate them and then torture them for information.
Someone is really impersonal.
That was their nonviolent solution, Aggro. They didn't want to kill these guys. They wanted to maim them.
Wow,
that's fine.
That makes them the good guys.
Yes.
I mean Zenigata, theoretically an officer of the law, is like, I'm just gonna cut you in half with this sword. When he swings at that scuba guy.
Zenigata has a lot of great moments in this.
I mean, he's Zenigata. He's the greatest character in every good Lupin content.
I really like him having the Jitei. The little Japanese, like, law enforcement thing, and parrying one of the swords and just shoving it down the guy's throat.
Every time the giant Swiss guard dudes pull sabers and clash with riot shield and baton-wielding Tokyo Metro Police is the best.
I enjoyed one of those backs where he's like, yeah, he's fighting the guy, his sword is now snapped in half because he has the Jeet. I would love to see a version of this movie done with the modern Lupin dubcast. I think that would be really cool.
So you're saying we need another release?
Yes.
I think I need to check out this other dub.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, no, that one you watched sound, or is probably terrible. It's from 92.
I mean, you go half the fucking movie not hearing Goemon, and then he just says one word, and I go, I know that voice too well.
I mean, I at least recognized a couple of voices, if only because those are like, these are the 80-year-old voice actors.
So I feel like we didn't get a ton of remixes or beating us over the head with the iconic Lupin theme in this. You do hear it, but I feel like it's not... We're going to roll out seven different remixes across this movie, which is kind of what I expected for some reason.
Yeah, we hear it like twice, I think. I think it's really good each time. And then we have that new song they made for this, which is like some vocal that they beginning at the beginning and end, which is neat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that song's all right.
Which I find it surprising that this is such an old dub. We didn't get like a dub of the song.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the one KZ watched had that.
Maybe.
It is an older dub.
Right.
This one's from 99 or 2000.
Right, which I guess things were already starting to light up on that front.
Yeah, I don't think it did, but probably have to go back.
Yeah, look, not everything can be the amazing Chad that is Project Echo with its California-based band doing cool intro and outro songs in English.
I think about that one sometimes. I'm like, they really fucking made that, didn't they?
Yeah, they went
for it. Miss Pioneer.
They fucking went for it, man.
And then I'm like, you really made me watch the last one at some point too, didn't you?
Don't think about it.
I try not to.
One and two are way more memorable than that third Aiko film. I don't know, Bob. People have some real beef with dubbed intro and outro songs, which is why Nerima Daikon Brothers may be the most lethal anime ever made.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even blame people. They've gotten really bad. So, like, all the new Dragon Ball Super intros are really bad.
Well, that's because they use auto-tune.
I know! Like, every time, yeah, whenever they start that, like, no, just don't do it ever again. I'm sorry.
Please just get someone who can sing.
They had a really good insert song in the recent Dragon Ball Super stuff that I really like. And then I checked the dub, and it's incredibly bad.
Who doesn't, like, Schimmel sing one of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't fucking sing. Just auto-tune him into oblivion.
Yeah, that's what they did.
He did the Dragon Ball Kai opening.
Yeah, those are really bad.
Yeah, but this new guy is like a YouTube vocalist.
Oh, no.
Where they brought in, I think it was Nate Wants to Battle or whatever, to do the opening for Super and that insert song. And, you know, no disrespect. Why?
Yeah, I'm sure they're good at their own craft, doing what they do.
I don't trust Funimation to deliver something better than what the original artist did at all.
Yeah, that's
I'd honestly rather go back to, like, the early aughts when they're just like, we're just going to pull out the lyrics. It's instrumental now.
I'm just going to go ahead and say the Nerima Daikon stab is because Nerima Daikon, for the people who don't know, Nerima Daikon Brothers is a musical anime. So you can imagine what they had to do to dub that.
Oh, no.
It's incredible. But they kept talking to Nabishin about various lyrics, so they got the official word from the man himself.
That show is really good.
That show is really good. It's man, some lines just stick with you. This is the part where I segue into talking about what this is supposed to be about.
Yeah, it's you tend to trail off when you talk about a movie like Cagliostro, because it's a Lupin movie, but I mean, it's mostly a Miyazaki movie. So there's not like, oh, remember this one scene or this one cut? Because it's like, do you know what a Miyazaki movie is like? Yeah, it's full of those. Go watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that there's... It's... a bunch of neat scenes, but none of them stand out in a specific way that I feel like bringing them up. Like, there's really cool rooftop running scene. There's the really cool intro scene where they're leaping over the rails in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a bunch of neat shots like that, and they look really great, and it's worth watching for that.
Yeah, and it's like that's the whole movie. It runs together like that the whole time. It's just great.
I feel like it's got a really brisk pace to it, and you're basically always seeing something that looks nice, so it is hard to point out, oh, do that, talk about this part.
Right.
Literally every second.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is still so insane. Fuck you, I'm drawing a Roman city.
It's really good.
He's like, I don't want to go back to TV animation. I can't.
They're going to... They're gonna wander around in it whimsically.
I think it's funny when they do the part where it's like, yeah, 10 years ago when I was young, and then Lupin has a flashback. It's identical.
He looks identical. Yeah. Lupin's immortal,
but he has the car. He has the classic Lupin car at that point, yeah, whereas now he has a little crappy car.
He's like, oh yeah, it's he's Arsene Lupin's
grandson. Yep,
totally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For the last, let me see here, 50 years, yes.
This is just a fucking Uncharted situation.
There were moments where I was like, oh, is this Uncharted 3 now?
Oh my god.
I did feel the quality go up.
That would have been really funny if they were just like, I'm going to show you how me and Jenna got a bet. And I'm like, no, no, no.
I meant more the sort of castles they were exploring, not literally Uncharted 3.
Not
oh god.
The part where it cuts to him 10 years ago.
Yeah.
God. That would have been terrible.
It really would have.
that would have edged a bit into other recent things we've watched, like Scoob.
So sad I missed out on watching Scoob with you.
Let me be frank. No, you aren't. I watch a lot of things out of intellectual curiosity. That didn't need to be one of them.
So I want to talk about Zenigata for a moment here.
Okay.
Because Zenigata is the greatest, most wholesome good boy in all of anime history. And there's a line at the end of the movie that if anybody, any character that was not Inspector Zenigata had said, would have been the corniest, dumbest, cringiest line ever. After Lupin runs off and leaves Clarice standing there, and he's like, ah, that thief, he got away. He's stolen again. And she's like, but he didn't steal anything. He's like, no, he stole your heart. Like,
and you're underage. I'm taking him in for that.
It was a really iconic scene. Very iconic. Yeah, I think that really worked there, because, of course, he is Zenigata. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm going to find an excuse, which most of this movie is him finding an excuse. That point where Fujiko calls him is really good. It's just I heard Lupin's going to be there. Guess you got an excuse to come back here. And he's like, oh! But yeah, overall, I thought it was a really enjoyable film. But it is shocking to me how much more it feels like I'm watching a Ghibli film than what I come to expect as a Lupin film. So I look forward to watching more Lupin films, so that way I can build a frame of reference that is recent for how much this shares with those and vice versa. So I guess we gotta talk about whether or not we recommend this. Bob, would you recommend people watch Lupin the Third, The Castle Cagliostro?
Of course. We started watching the storyboards right after finishing the movies. Like, I could just sit here and watch this all again.
Yeah, that would be great.
Like, if we had time, I would probably be fine with watching this movie three times in a row.
Yes.
It's that good. It's that much of just, oh man, this is invigorating to look at and fun.
Yeah, I was really surprised when the scene where Lupin is wounded, that whole arc where he loses his memory didn't go on for 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, that was really well done.
That was surprising, to say the least. Dr. Agro, would you recommend people watch Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro?
I mean, at this point, even if for some non-understandable reason I would decide to not recommend this movie, I have done it enough in the past that I wouldn't be able to pretend that this wasn't a movie I recommended.
Not ready to shift into full hypocrite mode, I see.
I gotta stay the course.
KZ, would you recommend this movie?
Absolutely. It's not very often in the content that we do that by choice, we watch something good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, absolutely. Sometimes I accidentally watch something that I like. This time, it's like, no, this is good. You're going to go watch it now. I'm like, oh, is this a trap?
I feel like We at Boomers has a pretty good track record.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we keep that up.
We're safe until Dan is like,
oh, what are we going to watch? Lost Universe or whatever.
Yeah, see? See, even Lost Universe will probably be funny. What we have to worry about is when Dan's like, okay, this time on We Ya Boomers, we're watching Star Ocean EX.
Yes!
Well, you know, two birds with one stone. Let's start the Star Ocean EX versus Lost Universe podcast.
No!
Finally, you have good ideas!
Casey, you don't have to say everything's a good idea just because you think it might hurt you.
No, it sounds terrible, which means it's a good
Mr. Feel, would you recommend Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro?
Yes.
Oh. Sounds like since I agree.
When are you gonna watch it on the Trinitron, Dan?
Maybe that's the next viewing. We do have a Blu-ray. We could get Blu-rays on that thing. This is pretty tempting. I'm going to watch all anime from here on out on the CRT for Weeaboomers. That's the way it was intended to be seen.
I feel like I'm 100% down for that for 4x3 anime. Anything else, I don't know.
I don't know. That 16x9 mode looks good.
It does look good, but I don't know if it's as good as having it on a full OLED.
If any of your older DVDs, like the Slayers movie or Box in a Box, you got to watch it on the CRT.
God.
Get the lowest encoding quality possible.
Yes.
Well, I guess that means the whole crew here recommends that you go out and watch Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro, and buy a Sony Trinitron.
I don't recommend that. I if you have an OLED, I do recommend the 4K DVD because I'm sure that looks great.
It looks pretty good. I need to go watch the regular Blu-ray. I feel like I could just recommend
it. It's probably no Terminator 2.